Thanks, Mark. Thank you. Okay. Well, don't you just love dedication services? I think dedication services, perhaps after baptisms, I love baptism services as well. They're just so incredible. I've actually loved being here today. And I'm going to talk to you today about dedication. I'm showing my age a bit in the week. This is a bit light, but I was thinking dedication. There was that song, wasn't there? If you want to be a record breaker. Yeah, I'm showing my age, I know. But some of you will know Roy Castle and Record Breakers, and it was about dedication. And today, I think it's been quite a solemn thing. When you dedicate your kids back to God, that's a really big deal, I think, actually. He gave you that as a gift, and you're giving them back today. I looked at what dedication meant, and just want to highlight some of the words. Commitment. Single-mindedness. If you're going to go out on the streets on Saturdays and Wednesdays, it's going to take dedication. Wholeheartedness. Allegiance. Attachment. Adherence, faithfulness, loyalty, self-sacrifice, consecration, hallowing, presentation, inscription, address, loyalty, solemn duty. Dedication is a serious business, what people have done today. I think those words, commitment, single-mindedness, faithfulness, self-sacrifice, consecration, if you're going to bring your kids up, you're going to have to do a lot of those, let me tell you. And the opposite of it is apathy. Apathy. When I even say the word apathy, it's one of those, I think it's onomatopoeia, isn't it? Where it's just like, apathy. Don't you just not like the word? I think the generation today, all generations, they can be apathetic. My generation, younger. I'm not having a go at any particular generation, but there can be an apathy, a sort of lack of commitment. And I hate that. Having dedicated my own three kids on this site, but in the old building, this is showing how old I am, they're 33, they're 31, and one's going on, I nearly made her going on 27 this week, but she informed me 26. When you have, I don't know if we could have the pictures up of those two we've dedicated today, Nathan and Joshua. I don't know whether that's possible. When you look at these two, what potential there is. Now, they'll be looking at their own kids, Alex and Karen, and you'll be thinking, I don't know what you'll be dreaming, but I want you to dream dreams for Nathan. And Kennedy and OG, I want you to dream dreams. I want you to dream in God. I've lost where you are, Kennedy and OG. Are they here? The back. Okay. Oh, sorry. I want you to dream dreams, okay, for Nathan, beyond perhaps what you can ask or imagine, and look to God and see what he'll do. When my kids were dedicated, I'm just going to chat a little bit about them, you know. I didn't know that they're so different. Kids are so unique. You can't treat them all the same. One of mine has ended up being a musician after a long sort of tale, going around the world now with a great band, telling people about Jesus. Well, did I expect that when he was up there as a little one like this? I don't know, really, but I wanted to dream in God. Am I really proud of him? Yes. In Stroud on Friday night, he called in and told me 550 people made commitments to Jesus. This isn't about me. This isn't about Lee. This is about Jesus and what he's doing in this place. Another child, very different. Doctor, just been out to Africa, helping poor people out in Africa, really hard situation, focused girl, very committed, bit stressy, she'll love me saying this today. 8 months pregnant, just organised in Oxford for the Oxford Churches, a whole clothes show to raise money for the homeless. Did I dream that was going to happen when those two little ones were up there? No, but I want you to keep dreaming dreams for your kids. Grace, who isn't in church just now, but we dedicated here in this place, she's baptised, I'm still believing for her. She does a great job as a solicitor. She works with families that are breaking down. Did I believe that or even think of that, Alex and Karen, when they're little? But actually, God's done it, not me. It's hard work being parents. Put your hands up if you are parents. You know about it. And do you know what? I don't think it gets any easier. Okay, it's jolly hard work when it's physical, when they're little. But then as they get older, it's hard work emotionally. You don't know what they're going to be, but believe and pray for them. They might move really out in secular in the world place. They might love Jesus with a passion and end up being missionaries somewhere. They might just be a missionary where they are. But really, my big prayer has been that they'll love Jesus, that Jesus will be the one who puts the wind in their sails, whatever they do. But good news, we have a God who is a good father. We have a God who orchestrates galaxies and has given you breath today. So he is a big God. He is well able to deal with all the stuff that's coming up to your head, like, what if you don't know my kid, all those sort of things. But no, he's a big God and he's a good father. And if you keep looking to him, I feel he'll pull them through. Because do you know what? You're raising the next generation. It's not just a little thing you've done today. This is the next generation and you're raising them. Now that can be pretty overwhelming, can't it, as a parent? Whoa, how am I going to do that? But keep looking to him. Keep looking to him. Because you'll make mistakes. You'll faff it up. I've done it loads of times. Me and Nick have made numerous mistakes, numerous failures. You keep having to have a strong hand and a tender touch as a parent, I think. This is a bit twee, but those of your parents who are about to become parents will know this, that they are, you hold their hands for a little while, but they're actually in your heart forever. You can never get them out of your heart. However hard you try, however old you get, they will always be in your heart. And then don't get me onto grandkids, okay? Well, maybe do, just a little bit. Okay, if you could just bring up the next picture. That'll be someone's grandchild, won't it? But yeah, okay. This, just excuse me for a minute, is a 4D scan of my next grandchild, which is due 26th of October, which is pretty exciting, isn't it? I just sort of think, wow, just what detail you can see of that. I'm obviously biased, but very excited. My dad, who's a bit vocal, sort of went, oh, looks a bit of a bruiser. I was like, oh, no, let's hope then that it's a boy and not a girl, you know. He just says it how it is, so we don't care. We're looking forward to the birth of that baby. What I want you to get from that, really, is that he knew Nathan and he knew Joshua when they were in your womb. If you really get your head around that, that is just mind-blowing. Psalm 139 says this, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be." It's not just a random group of molecules thrown together. God knew you. He knew you when you were in your mother's womb. I almost don't care how you came to be, but he knew you. Don't mean that harshly. I just mean he knew you. He's a loving creator. I refuse to believe molecules somehow came together and this thing appeared. No, no, no. He knew you in your mother's womb. Heather Dutton wrote an article recently. I don't know whether you read it in Life Church, called Called to Wonder. She talked about her two-year-old, Toby, who wonders at everything. He loves dinosaurs. He marvels at them. He's really excited about them. Caused to wonder. And I thought, do you know what? When did I last wonder? When did I sort of think, wow? Well, actually, when I saw that picture, yeah, I thought, wow. When you see creation sometimes, you need those moments, don't you, just to cause to wonder. Otherwise, we're on automatic pilot and we get dealt with all the stuff of the world. We don't think about wondering. Does it always lead us to worship? No, would be my answer. But 1 John 3 verse 1 says this, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us that we might be called children of God." That should cause us to wonder. You're a child of God today. You no longer need to be a slave to fear. You're his child. He made you. He knew you when you were in your mother's womb. He knows you. He knows all the stuff. I think wonder is kind of around at the moment. There's a great United CD out at the moment with lots of tracks about wonder on. It's just made me think, come on, Sue, when did you last wonder? Keep that wonder. Don't lose that in the midst of all the other stuff. The next bit. Luke 18 says this. People were also bringing babies to Jesus, to him, to place his hands on them. And when the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called the children to him and said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter in." I felt challenged this week about being a child still in relation to God and being like God in relation to children. Read a few books over the summer. I'd forgotten how much I love reading. I'm sure you want to know this. I read about 6 books, various ones from Me Before You, a secular book which will make you cry, to Desmond Tutu's autobiography. I'm not saying this to say how good I am, but it fed my soul. If you've got little kids, feed their soul with good stuff, with books. It'll do them good. And then I've smiled a little bit. While I was away also, I read a newspaper article, and the thing that spoke out to me was the African proverb. We haven't colluded, Andy and I. It takes a village to raise a child. And Igo in Yoruba is the Nigerian proverb. I felt quite spoken to about this, that, you know, as we all stood today, that's a communal effort, but it can't just be a standing in as a duty. It's got to actually earth itself somewhere and be real, because I think we were designed for community and family. I don't think we were designed to do this alone. Grandparents aren't always nearby. You need neighbourhood, you need people, you need to look out for each other. And your new life groups that are starting, all the life groups, that could be a real place of community, of giving life, of caring for one another, of doing the things that we've talked about and committed to with Alex and Kieran and Kennedy and Ogie. I've seen this in action. I've been here, since I was 23, long time. We didn't have a family when we moved here. Our family were in Birmingham. And I saw this church become family to us at different points. I could cry at the different points while bringing up my children. And I think when I went in to have Grace, the Rolleses actually had Lee and Charlotte for me. Just things like that, because I didn't have the family. This was my family and still is. It's really important that we're there for each other at different points in your life. I bumped into Rosie Laurie in Sainsbury's yesterday. We were both struggling a bit. It was a long story, but Sainsbury's and bags and food and all of that sort of thing. She's got bags of stuff for Nora because she shops for Nora. That's the sort of thing I'm talking about. That's a village. It takes a whole village to make a church. It can't just be in our own little bits, really. I've got great admiration and awe for all of you who foster children or have adopted children. I just think, and if you're a single parent, I'm thinking of Miriam Duncan and Laura Jones particularly. You know, I just think, you make me cry. I met Jamie at Kids Club. I was at Eccles Kids Club last week. Met Jamie, what a privilege. And I told her, I'm in awe of what you're doing and the job that you're doing with those children, the Delahoyds who are about to foster. We need to really honour and support these single parents and these families who are really trying to have a go and make a difference to these people's lives. And I saw some great quotes in action on Facebook, which is the fount of all knowledge. Not, obviously. I just missed something I wanted to say. I read another article while I was away. Sorry, this has just come into my head. From, Premier Christianity or something. Read the whole article about Facebook, about space, about social media. Really interesting article. And I came to the end of it, and it was signed Jamie Cutteridge. I was like, oh, this is very exciting. You know, I'm sitting in Spain or wherever it was. So I texted him. I said, you must be so proud. You know, you didn't know when you dedicated him that he was going to be a journalist and write such a great piece. You don't know what's in your children. The potential. Em had a prophetic word in the prayer meeting earlier on that the potential that is inside that young baby is immense. I digress a little bit. On Facebook, yeah, I noticed that. These are just a couple of examples of bringing up a child with a village mentality. Okay, that village thing. The Truicks had had to take Finley to hospital, I saw. And basically, I think Laura was looking after Rubes and Ava. I just thought, oh, that's cool, isn't it? They're getting in there with each other. Krispy Kreme donuts and some flowers were dropped on someone's doorstep because they've got a hospital appointment. And I just thought, you know what? That feels like community to me. That feels like family. That feels like that village sort of mentality. And the risk of embarrassing Cy and Hayley. I think they took Cody to church one Sunday because Laura was ill. You find out quite a bit on Facebook sometimes. Some good, some bad. I'm not saying Facebook's everything. I'm just saying there are some things you see that you're proud. You think, wow, that's really good. That's church in action. So I guess we need to humble ourselves sometimes, perhaps before God, and become like children. Sometimes we're so sophisticated, aren't we? We think we have it all together, do we? Children are creative. They're imaginative. They're trusting. They're eager. They're responsive to love. They're soft-hearted. And there are a lot of other things too. But if we're living for God and we want to remain childlike, those are some of the things we need to have in us. I want to just finish, really, following on a bit from Mark's plug about going on the street with the gospel. Because I know that Alex and Kieran and Kennedy and Ogie's biggest prayer as we've prayed today will be that those two children choose to follow Jesus. They've dedicated them back to God today. There's no guarantee, but that will be their biggest prayer, that they will make that decision one day. I can guarantee you, because it's been mine for however many years. Some of Life Church have been out on the streets having a go, as Mark's just been talking about. And to my sort of shame, I hadn't been. Anyway, last Wednesday, I took a bit of courage and thought, okay, I'm going to do this. Now, you might think, well, I was nervous. You may not be. You may be well used to all of this. I certainly wasn't. So I knew Mel McKellar was going, and Matt Walls and Nick and Clive and a few others, and I thought, I'm just going to have a go at this. I've got the diagram. How can I be embarrassed? Jesus died naked on a cross for me. How can I not do this? So I'm going to do this. Prayed quite a bit, got to the coffee shop, heart beating a little bit on my own, get myself, I don't even drink coffee, so had a hot chocolate, sat there. And no one comes, so I'm a bit like, oh, can I do this? Can I do this? And covering my neck is, I text Mel, where are you? In the coffee shop. So am I. Where are you? At the back. Oh, okay. Then it dawns on me, I was in Cafe Nero. I'm just telling you, slight joke, clearly was a bit keyed, wrong coffee shop. Yeah. But do you know what? God can redeem the wrong coffee shop. I then go to Costa, where the crew are. We pray together. We look at the diagrams. We have a bit of a chat about, you know, each of us, our own stuff before God. And we're going to have a go at this. Anyway, Nick arrives, who obviously loves doing this sort of thing because he's a salesman. I really don't. But do you know what? I will tell you afterwards, I did really enjoy it. A whole group of people speaking at Costa Coffee, and they're just chatting away in a whole group. Nick says, oh, let me introduce my wife to you. She's going to do this diagram in church on Sunday, and she'd like to try it out on you. Part of me wanted to kill him, but another part of me was like, do you know what? I had no time to get anxious. I was in there. I had a captive audience. Mel was with me too. And so I went through the diagram, which I just want to just really talk to you a bit about Jesus today and about the diagram. To show you that you can do it. I think you'd agree that we live in a broken world. And you've only got to hear stuff on the newspaper, on the TV, just everywhere. It's all broken. There's all mess, isn't there? There's mess as in abuse, murder, tribalism, racism. There's just stuff. It's all just a right mess, really, when you look out. And I think sometimes even we as Christians try to get away from the broken mess because it's too painful and it hurts too much. So what we can do is we're kind of a bit like these arrows. We can perhaps go to the Trafford Centre, do some consumerism. I quite like the Trafford Centre, so I'm trying to be vulnerable before you. But it doesn't fill the gap. Perhaps we can drink. Perhaps we can do drugs. Perhaps we can do exercise. Perhaps we can overeat. We can do all sorts of things to try and kind of just fill that gap, that aching gap that's in us. And do you know what? It doesn't really work. Because it's a bit like a bungee jump. It's like you go in, you go back, you're still at the broken mess. It doesn't really heal your soul. Good news. Next slide, please. God is love. And that isn't how he made the world. He's love. He didn't intend it to be like that. But it is, isn't it? And there's a barrier, really, between God's world and the broken world. Next one, please. Some of the stuff, not all of the stuff that's in the mess of the broken world is caused by sin. Some of it's suffering and all of that. But some of it actually is caused by selfishness and greed and all the stuff. And the only way we can really get rid of that, I'd like to say to you, is that it's really sin. Anything that's got an I in it is about selfishness. It's about me. And we, as Christians, call it sin. Okay, and that's the separation. But good news. God sent Jesus 2,000 years ago to die on a cross, and he died for every sin that you did yesterday, you'll do today or tomorrow. He dealt with it. He took the punishment for our sins once and for all to lead us back to God. And if you choose to walk away from the brokenness and the broken world and you choose to make him king of your life, then you can get back to God and you can have your relationship restored with God. And then you can go back into the broken world and make a difference. Because we've got to live in that broken world. This is where we live. This is where a lot of you have good secular jobs and you want to make a difference in that place. If you go back into that place full of Jesus, you're going to make a difference on your streets, in your home, in your neighbourhood. And I guess I just want to ask today, finally, you're probably either here or here. There are two people up here. And my question is, where would you like to be? What's stopping you turning to Jesus? If you want to have a right relationship with God, you can. You can do it today. You can start today. I'd be really happy to pray with you if that was the case, or someone at the front. If there's stuff that's coming into your head now and you're thinking, but what about that? What about that? And you want to find out more, we have alpha courses that run all the time. We have an alpha course running in our home at the moment, and we're going to have different ones in community groups. And you'd be welcome to come and find out more. But you can pray that prayer today. I've also got Why Jesus booklets, and you'd be really welcome to have some of those to find out more. Okay, thank you for listening, and have a great dedication day. Enjoy your day.